So first of all, you have, in fact, a homage. Homage to the perfection of wisdom, the lovely, the holy. And then you have what Konza calls the convocation of the assembly. Thus have I heard at one time, the Lord dwelt at Shravasti, in the Jetta Grove, in the garden of Anathapindika, together with a large gathering of monks consisting of 1,250 monks, and with many bodhisattvas, great beings. Early in the morning, the Lord dressed, put on his cloak, took his bowl, and entered the great city of Shravasti to collect alms. When he had eaten and returned from his round, the Lord put away his bowl and cloak, washed his feet, and sat down on the seat arranged for him, crossing his legs, holding his body upright, and mindfully fixing his attention in front of him. Then many monks approached to where the Lord was, saluted his feet with their heads, thrice walked round him to the right, and sat down to one side. So it's a classic opening. And I just want to pick out a few of the things mentioned in the sutra. Follow these up in your groups throughout the day, throughout the retreat. Really important, I think, when you do the groups, don't leave any stone unturned. Any word, any phrase that isn't clear, check it out, ask about it, go into it. Be as thorough as you possibly can. So the sutra begins with a homage. Homage to the perfection of wisdom, the lovely, the holy. Namo Bhagavatyai Adiya Prajna Paramitayai. That's the Sanskrit. This is frequently how the Perfection of Wisdom sutras open. There's a homage to the perfection of wisdom itself. The perfection of wisdom is described as lovely, as holy. It's described as Bhagavati, Bhagavati meaning richly endowed. Konza's translated it as lovely, which is a rather lovely translation, but it means, you know, endowed with all qualities. And Arya means holy, noble, transcendent. So homage to the perfection of wisdom, the lovely, the holy. Prajna Paramita, we're translating it as perfection of wisdom. Other translations could have it as the wisdom that has gone beyond, the wisdom that's gone to the other shore. Wisdom, in other words, that's transcendent, in the sense of you can't get hold of it. It's elusive, beyond words, beyond thought, beyond conception. So you have a very traditional opening here. A homage to the perfection of wisdom itself. And I think this is important. It's just a few lines, but it immediately sets a particular atmosphere. The traditional approach to reading a sutra, studying a sutra, is one of reverence, devotion, and faith. The perfection of wisdom is regarded as precious, as extraordinary, as sublime, as rare. It's profound. It's the deep meaning of things. It's sublime, transcendent, liberating. You know, if you, you know, get a glimpse of perfect wisdom, you will be liberated from all bonds, from all suffering. It's also subtle, elusive, ungraspable. So there's this sense of reverence for this perfect wisdom. This is the traditional approach. You could even chant if you wanted to, if you were in that kind of mood. In terms of approaching this retreat, you could chant Namo Bhagavatyai Arya Prajna Paramitayai if you wanted to, going around the stupa, getting into that mood of reverence.